we'd like to talk about tonight about being a faithful Christian as a way of life. And that's kind of going to be our theme for the meeting for this week through Friday night. But you know, so many people think about being a Christian, and the fear many people have is I can never live a perfect life. There's too many rules to follow, and God's just waiting for me to mess up to zap me. And we know as Christians, that's the furthest from the truth. We serve a loving God who wants us to be obedient, that wants us to be in heaven with Him one day. I'd like to look first at the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 17. We see in this passage that as Jesus teaches this person, it's more than just rules. Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him, asking him, "Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, I have done all of these from my youth." Then Jesus beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest: go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and take thy cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered and said again unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?" And I might mention here again that this was under the old law during Jesus' time, and that's why he did not command him to be baptized. But Jesus knew the heart of this young man, and he was thinking about keeping rules. But Jesus knew his heart. And when he asked him about the riches, the man went away sorrowful. Think about that. As in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, Jesus said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Just think about this young man here. He was talking to the Son of God. And Jesus told him, "There's just one thing you need to do to be able to make it to heaven." And what did he do? Did he do that one thing? No. He went away sorrowful because he had great riches. Those riches stood between him and God. And that, for him, was the price of his soul. You know, and then for you and I, if we refuse to do what God bids us to do, that's the price of our soul. That's what we see as more important, the things of this world that'll all burn up one day rather than have heaven. Next, we'd like to look over to Matthew chapter 25. We'll be looking through this whole chapter tonight. We'll begin in Matthew chapter 25, begin with verse 1. And we read about the wise and foolish virgins. You know, I know we've all familiar with chapter 25 of Matthew, but you know, there's a lot of good lessons to be learned there. And it's a scary chapter in a lot of ways because there's things in there that talks about the judgment. It talks about our life in eternity. It talks about whether or not where we will spend eternity. And so there's a lot of things to be learned there. In the very first verse of Matthew chapter 25, it said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto." That tells us that's what heaven's going to be like. It tells us what we have to do to be in heaven. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and when they went into the marriage, the door was shut. And afterward also the other virgins came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch ye therefore, you know not the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So again, this is talking about us being prepared for the judgment. Lord willing, our lesson on Friday night will be titled Always Ready, because that's what we have to be, is always ready. There was no time to get ready. We won't be able to get ready when the Lord comes back, and that's what Jesus is teaching us here. It says in verse 1, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. We have to make wise decisions. There was nothing in between. You know, that's the thing about in our world today. If you go take your driver's license test and you fail, you can always take another one. You fail in school, you can go to summer school. You fail your law degree or whatever, you can take it again. There's always something you can do to make it up. But we just see two choices throughout this chapter. There's just two choices there. And notice also the door was shut. Who shut the door? God shut the door. And God shut the door just like he did for the ark, was shut by God. And you know, I think why God shut that is because man would have wanted to open it back up. But God knew that wasn't possible. That wasn't the right thing to do. So he doesn't leave it up to us. But God shut the door. The wise and foolish virgins, always ready. We have to be ready. We can't get ready when Christ comes back. Then we want to continue on to the parable of the talents, beginning with verse 14. Again, we see Jesus speaking here. In the very first verse here in verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. Again, it says the kingdom of heaven. This is telling us about decisions we need to make, how we need to be prepared for the kingdom of heaven. And even though it is a parable, it is very important because it tells us about what we'll do for all eternity and how we'll spend our lives based on the decisions that we make. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And I know we've all read this parable many, many times, but we think about here, it says according to their several ability. He didn't ask the people how many they wanted. He gave one 5, and another 2, and another 1, according to what God saw as their ability. They didn't decide. God did. And in verse 16, and then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made 5 other talents. And likewise, he that had received 2 also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. So he made a 100% use of his talents. He took the 5 that he had and made 5 more. And then verse 21, the Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. How many times have we heard the brethren use that in a prayer? That's what we all desire to hear. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. That's why we're all here tonight, isn't it? We want to make it to heaven. And we want to hear those words. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Then we see in verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. Again, he had 2 and he gained 2. He made 100% use of the talents he'd been given. Then his Lord said unto him, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Again, the same words we want to hear. But he got the same reward as the one as five because they both made use of the talents that they had. And that's all that we can do in this life. We make use of the talents, or I like to think of the opportunities that we have in this life. But in verse 24, he that received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. So he didn't lose the talent. He just dug a hole and buried it. He didn't use the opportunities that he had in this life. He didn't lose them, but he didn't make increase from them. And the Lord answered unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those are the words we don't want to hear. But that's the two choices that will be available for us. We will either hear, enter into the joy of thy Lord, or we'll be cast into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But to think about this, that this man lost his soul for doing nothing. James chapter 4 and verse 17 says, Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, I think especially for us as Christians, we worry about so much about the sins we're going to commit or we might commit. And of course, we need to worry about those things. But how much do we think about the sin of doing nothing? That if we stood there on judgment day and said, you know, you didn't do anything of committing sin, but you just held that talent in your hand, you just buried it in the ground, and therefore you're going to lose your soul for doing nothing. That's very scary, isn't it? To think about the opportunity we have for heaven, where there won't be any second chances, but that we lost our soul for doing nothing. To me, that's one of the most scary things in the Bible, is to realize that we could lose our soul for doing nothing. Next, we'll look on to the last part of this chapter, beginning with Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. And again, we see in the very first part of verse 31 where it says, When the Son of Man shall come in his glory with all his holy angels, then they shall sit upon the throne of his glory. Again, this is the judgment. This is the end. This is it. Again, it is a parable, but this is telling us what the judgment will be like. And we'd be very wise to listen carefully. Verse 32, And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. So there's just a separation. Again, there's no in between. It's just sheep and goat, the left and the right. Verse 34, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So that's what we want to hear. We want to hear those words, that we are going to inherit heaven for all eternity. So then Jesus is going to tell them, this is why you're going to serve in heaven for all eternity. Jesus said, For I was a hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then the righteous shall answer me, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? And when saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? or whensoever thee be sick or in prison and came unto thee. So the righteous person said, Lord, when did I do all those things to you? I don't recall. Then in verse 40, then the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So the main point we want to look at in this chapter here tonight is that it was a way of life. The saved person doing good was a way of life. They didn't think about it. Even when the Son of God said, enter into heaven because you did these things. And they said, why? Well, when did I do those things? You know why they didn't remember each and every one of those times? Because it was a way of life for them. It's kind of like they say about muscle memory sometimes when you work in doing some kind of job. You just do it without even thinking. You just do it without even thinking. It's a way of life for you. Now we're fixing to see the opposite of that on the other hand. Then shall he say also to them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For he was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall also they say unto him, Lord, when saw thee a hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, and sick, and in prison, that did not minister unto thee? You know, everybody would be, if Jesus came to the door, knocked on the door, and said, hey, this is Jesus Christ, I need something to drink, I need something to eat. Of course you give it to him. But that's not the way it works. He said, to the least of these. Then shall he say unto him, verse 45, then shall he answer unto him, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So it's a way of life. It's not a decision that we make someday, not even to obey the gospel. That's just the beginning. That's not the end. It's a way of life. And I believe it can be summed up in that we have a heart for God. And we'll read just a few verses about that. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, for within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders. Bad things come out of the heart, but good things also. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringing forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringing forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So when we say things, it comes from the heart. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, Jesus said, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So the heart matters. It's a matter of the heart. For those that might not ever do that physical act of adultery, it said that if we lust after a woman, we've committed adultery with them in their heart. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15 said, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abideth in him. Again, it's a matter of the heart. Hating our brother is the same as physical murder. That's what Jesus said. And in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So serving God, living a Christian life, is much more than rules. It's a way of life. It's not just something we do. It's not a list that we pull out. So how do we develop a heart for God? One thing is study. You will never live better than you know. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. If we don't know to do right, we're not going to do right. But we've got to know. We've got to study. We've got to understand the things that the Bible says. so we can answer others when they ask us, that we can know how we should live our life. And the other thing is in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can't be conformed to this world. We see so many around the world that are conformed to this world. But we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I believe that renewal is something that takes place with us daily as Christians, and it'll be something throughout our lives. We'll never be completely perfect. We're still going to stumble, we're going to fall, but we have to repent, pray to God to forgive us, and move forward. And that's the way we do that, have that heart for God, and to live that life as a Christian is that it has to become a part of us. And that transformation is something I believe has to go on throughout the rest of our lives. Throughout the rest of the week, we hope to do several more lessons, God willing. I hope you can come as often as you can. We'll meet at 8 o'clock Eastern Time each night. Monday night, we hope to talk about sin, public and private. Tuesday night, faith, being a trust in God. Wednesday night, God wins. Thursday night, worry, fear, and anxiety. And Friday, always ready, as we talked about a few moments ago. So if you're here tonight and never rendered obedience to the gospel, we must obey the gospel by hearing, believing, confessing, repenting, and being baptized, and to remain faithful. If we've done those things and strayed away, we do have the opportunity to be forgiven of our sins. And James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you're not ready to meet God in judgment, we need to make those changes today, even as this young lady did this morning and was baptized into Christ. If we could assist you in any way, we ask you to come while we stand. Sing the song of invitation.